here today, this evening. God is so good to us, isn't he? Praise God. And I'm super excited today because Kara's with us, and I get to speak tonight. I'm so thankful for her. She's such a great blessing to our family and to our children. She's like a little mommy. She's a great kid, though. She's been a great kid for 19 years. And she's doing a great work right now for the kingdom of God, and we're believing for greater things for her in Jesus' name. And if you've, you know, she's a great friend. If you haven't had a chance to make a friend with Kara, she's very loyal, she's kind, and she's caring. And I've seen her with her friends throughout school. And even in Scotland, she was always reaching out and trying to help others, even whenever it puts herself in a situation. Thank God for it. But today I'd like to talk to you on this topic on stronger together. I believe the Lord has put a word on my heart to deliver to you, and I'm going to do the best that I can to convey that. I don't always get it right, but hopefully we can all leave here with something from the Lord, huh? Amen? My main scripture text will be Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And I'll give you a moment to turn there in your Bibles and or find it on your electronic devices. But this is a message that is about working together in the love of God in such a way that it reaches across all barriers and all boundaries and all races. I've heard it said in reference to archery about bows and arrows. The bows need the arrows, and they both need the string. And now, I know that people have preached on this over the years, stronger together. I've heard the message several times myself, not necessarily this particular one, but the term stronger together. And it always goes to a threefold cord is not easily broken. And it really isn't. And when we lock our faith together, our faith in with each other, we are stronger together. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yet he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yet it is a sore travail. Verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray for this wonderful day. I thank you for this evening. Lord, we look to you right now. We're relying on you and your presence and your word to speak to us, to guide us, to protect us, to lead us. And I pray a blessing upon every person that's here today. I pray that you would touch my heart, my lips, and my mind. Help me to convey to them the word that you've given to me. And I pray and I ask you that you would allow them to leave with something from you today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And you may be seated. There was a man that once told of a tragic story of another man who worked all of his life. He had squandered all of the time he had been given working. When he died at the age of 51, his obituary said that the cause of his death was coronary thrombosis. But most people knew better because he was at the office 6 days a week, often there from 7 a.m. until 8 to 9 p.m. at night. His friends and family said that he simply worked himself to death. Yet on the day of his funeral, when the company was already making inquiries about his replacement, the president looked around the room and he asked the candidates, "Who among you is working the hardest?" But the zinger line was delivered by the dead man's wife when a friend said, "I know how much you will miss him." And she replied, "Oh, I already have." You see, this man spent so much time at work and squandered his time away that his wife had already experienced the loneliness and already missed him being gone all the time. So she may have been stuck in a time in a time past whenever there was a great pursuit one with the other. They were pursuing each other with a great deal of effort. The relationship took precedence in some cases over everything else. Yeah, he still had the busyness of life. He had bills to tend to. He had a job to show up at. But he would set aside some time to spend with his wife because they were in hot pursuit of each other. And those of us that are married or engaged or that sort of thing, we know what that's like, to be in hot pursuit of that relationship. In some cases, you'll set aside anything. You're going to make sure you get your time in. You would. And here's the thing. Sometimes, it's even now, we get so caught up in the things of life, things that we just have to do. And we lose that passion and that pursuit for the things of God and for a relationship with God. A lot of times, whenever we first come to the Lord, again, it's the same thing. See, God has created us as a communal beings. He created us for relationships. And so sometimes we get so caught up with the cares of life that we stop pursuing the relationships that matter. And so those need to be set in our forefront tonight. They need to be set before us, and we need to be reminded that some things aren't as important as what we make them out to be. And sometimes, if we allow those things to take precedence, we miss the most valuable thing, which is the relationships of the people that are around us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and 9, from the text that we read, it says, "Two are better than one." Two are better than one. If God thought that one was enough, he would have stopped with Adam. But he didn't. If you take a look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, he says that it's not good for man to be alone. He didn't say for a man to be alone. He said for man to be alone. And so here again we see how God has created us for this relationship. But the relationship starts with God. It starts with Jesus Christ. Our relationship should always and foremost be with Jesus Christ. Secondary relationship is going to be our spouse, our family members, those that are around us. Those are the most valuable relationships. But he's created us, he's designed us for these relationships from the very beginning. As I said, that you can see in Genesis chapter 2. But here's the kicker. Not long after that, sin enters into the world. They become disobedient because there's a disconnect. Somewhere along the line, they got distracted and there was a disconnect from their relationship with God. And then sin entered into their lives and ultimately entered into their relationships. And you'll see this in Genesis chapter 3, where the entrance of sin brings frustration and confusion into the relationships. And then quickly on to Genesis chapter 4, the man and the woman engage in accusations and slander. And then you'll also see the relationships get even worse with a man murdering his own brother. While many of us have not committed murder, we still live on the continuum between murder, accusation, and blame of our brothers and sisters. We may not be doing this ourselves in some cases, but you're going to see this even now in the world. And again, it's because sin is in the world. And then the devil also plays on that. He plays on that, and he uses it to create division. He uses it to create anger and hate and bitterness in the hearts and the lives of others. Because sometimes the pains and the sufferings and the hurts that we go through are brought on to us by those that are living in sin. Say, for instance, Cain and Abel. He murdered his brother. So he felt the pain of another man's sin. But we must not get bitter and angry whenever we are exposed or we're going through such a thing. We are better together, and we are stronger together. Verse 10 in Ecclesiastes says, if one falls down, there is someone there to help them back up. I can think of many times throughout the years here in church, many of you have helped me. I've gone through things in my life, some spiritual, some physical. And there was an individual or individuals that stepped up. They prayed for me. They fasted for me. And I know these two right here have done some serious fasting and praying for me and my family, and a few of you over here too. And we're here today because of that. Two is better than one. We are stronger together. Skipping down to verse 4, if we take a look at that, it says, they are stronger together against the attacks. The Bible says that one shall put 1,000 to flight, and two shall put 2,000 to flight. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So if we can bind together with our faith, we can do something powerful in the kingdom of God. We can advance the kingdom of God, not just here, but around the world. In Jesus' name, God has a plan for his church, and it involves each and every one of us. Everybody in this room, at the sound of my voice, has a part in the body of Christ. We are stronger together. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 25 through 32, this passage speaks of things that can destroy the body of Christ and instructs us on what to do about them. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Wherefore, putting away lying speak, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So here's the thing. I'm going to pause right there. There are some things that we can visually see on the internet, and we may hear people talking about certain things, and I'm here to tell you as a warning that you don't need to get involved in some of those conversations. You really don't. I've been victim of that. I've been drawn in. It's hard to not be lured into that, especially if you feel like, you know, you have something, oh no, I can straighten this right on out right now. Well, we don't need to get involved in that, because this is a trick of the enemy. He's intending to use this to divide the saints of God. He's intending to use this to put division in amongst the church. He's using this right now, even outside of those, and maybe some people even in here, maybe unawares, but there's some hate that's in behind some of that speech. There's some bitterness that's in behind it, and sometimes it's under the guise of being okay or doing something right, but it's not necessarily right. The root of it is bitterness. The root of us is anger. The root of it is hate. And we shouldn't get involved in those types of conversations. As we see here, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Part of the reason why I want to bring this up is because if you're reading some of this stuff, I want you to feel a check from now on in your spirit. I want you to feel a check from the Holy Ghost to stay away from those things. Amen. Or else you're going to wind up in the same predicament. Verse 31. These things can grieve the Holy Ghost, as we saw in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That means to make him sad or to sorrowful, to feel offended. Because we have corrupt communication toward one another sometimes. Whether it's because of a political situation, an economic situation, and in a lot of cases, a racial situation. We need to be speaking love. The words that we say to one another, even outside of this room, need to build up. They need to edify. If they're tearing down, if they're breaking down, that's not the will of God. God's not in that. I hate it for you. God's not in that. If there's words that's creating division and separation, God's not in that. You're not going to find any Bible for that. You're not going to find any Bible. What you will find is, for God so loved the world. Not a certain individual, not a certain political party, for God so loved the world. So be careful with the things that you're getting involved with nowadays, because it can be a trap, and it can be devastating spiritually. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So in these things we need to be tender-hearted. We need to show love one to another. And sometimes when people are living in their sin and they bring that offense to you, just choose love. It's been brought to me many times by various people. And I tell them, I said, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for it on either side. I choose love. I love you. I love everybody in this room. Choose love, because we are stronger together. I'm brought back to bows and arrows and strings. And the strings need the bows, and they all need each other, plain and simple. Have you ever seen a bow? It's very nice. I have one of my own. I started to bring it. but they're great. And here's the thing. When all those elements are put together, they function very well. Now, I could take those pieces apart. I can take the bow and the strings, take the strings off the bow, separate them all, and I can find ways to use those elements. I can find ways to use those. Say, for instance, a string. I can take that string and run over and I can tie something down with it. I can also take that string and run over somewhere and maybe hoist something up. I can still utilize those things. I could. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. A lot of times people aren't connected to the body of Christ. And some of them aren't even in church, but they're saying, well, look what the Lord's, how I'm being used. Look how I'm being used. And they're deceiving themselves. But it doesn't mean that God's not going to use them. Yeah, he can still use that. But how much the more if they're all put together the way that they were designed to be together? And then now you take a piece of string and sometimes a simple piece of wood and an arrow. It becomes very powerful, even deadly. And so if we were to bind together in the body of Christ, in unity, the way that he specifically designed for that to be, we will be powerful for the things of God. We will be powerful for the kingdom of God. And we don't have time to be messing around with some of this speech that wants to create division amongst us. We really don't. We don't have time for it. Every person is given an allotted amount of time. You came into the world, and you're going to go out of the world. Don't be so distracted by the cares of this life. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on loving people and loving Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Try to keep up with my time here. You let me know, Pastor. Stop. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. I'll be reading from the NIV version. This passage explains that we are one body with many members, and we all need each other. Starting in verse 12, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So verse 13, the scripture text reveals to us that there is unity and diversity in the body of Christ. It makes mention of Jews, and Greeks, slave and free. There's great diversity, but yet a great unity. Praise God. God does not have one person that he does not intend to use in his body. We can't discredit our brothers and our sister. We can't discredit the person that's sitting next to you or the person that's standing in the back. If you're involved in anything that would, again, create a separation or a division, God's not in it. I'm sorry. We are all stronger together. We all need each other. If one is hurting, we will all hurt. That's what the Bible says. I've never stubbed my toe and not cared about it. It hasn't happened. To do what God is trying to accomplish in us and through us in these last days, it will take a togetherness, a unity. It will take building relationships and understanding one another. It'll take kindness and long suffering for some of you folks. I know I'm hard to deal with too. And forgiveness, a lot of forgiveness. So I'm going to close with this as the musicians will come. This is an article that I read that I thought that was very fitting for what I was trying to convey. So you may have seen this article, I don't know. But it is called The Body of Christ in Action. And she writes, I could tell you a story after story upon story, starting back from the time I was a little girl. A bag full of groceries snuck in the back seat of our car during church, an offer for free childcare during a season of night classes, church camp scholarship notifications year after year, trash bags crammed with hand-me-downs, always just the right sizes and always at just the right time, an envelope anonymously slipped in between the worn pages of a Bible when they were not looking, a timely word of encouragement, a listening ear, an understanding embrace. This was the body of Christ in action as we humbly lived those unexpected years on the receiving end of grace. This week, I texted her to see if it was a good time to call. She quickly responded with, yes, as long as I didn't mind a chorus of chattering little ones in the background. Not at all, I text back. If there's one thing that I understand, is that the phone is the universal signal for toddlers everywhere to come running. I won't even hear them, I promise. All these years later, it's definitely my turn to give back. We're states away, so I can't make her a meal or grab her kids for the afternoon, but I can listen to her and I can pray and remind her of the truth that she's already heard time and time again, that God is still on the throne and that he's not surprised at what we're going through. The truth that remains, no matter what, truth will remain no matter what, the hospital tests reveal. I'll call her again next week because I'm sure the battle isn't over. Another day, this time a coffee date, and she needs reminding that her marriage is worth fighting for. That we fight not as the world does, but instead we choose to sacrificially pour into our sacred covenants because it's a union designed by God, and it's more than worth fighting for. As we talk, we decide on regular check-ins so that we won't forget to keep fighting. We won't forget that we are stronger together. We've circled up on each other's living room floors, squeezing hands tightly while crying out to Jesus on behalf of our children. We're in this together. And so instead of judgment, we've offered grace, encouragement, and comforting words that confirm that we all feel weak from time to time. but that there's great hope and power beyond what we can see, as long as our focus remains on Jesus. There have been late night chats in college dorm rooms, pie baking marathons in the name of church outreach, pre-chemo pedicures, and countless meals delivered after each new baby was born. We've raised hands high, side by side in celebration and in sweet worship together. And we've bent down low together with no tears left to cry, begging God for mercy as we unexpectedly buried her husband on that cold December day. This is the body of Christ in action. Some seasons are spent on the receiving end and others on the giving. Individually, weak and imperfect, but when unified, so much the stronger. We are made up of different personalities. The way that we keep our homes, our fashion sense, our likes, our dislikes, our color of our skin. Sometimes they seem like they're all over the place. But one person's weakness is another person's strength. But we love Jesus and we're practicing how to keep the main thing, the main thing. Our relationships first, no condemnation, no competition, and no comparing. Just compassion to do good when we can, and enough courage to take the focus off of ourselves and promptly put it back to Jesus where it belongs. Over and over again, with help from each other, as Christ as our center, we are stronger together. So as we all stand, let's be open to what God is trying to convey to us today. Let's be open to what He's trying to do even amidst us. Let's keep our relationship with God in the forefront and our relationships with those that are around us in the forefront of our mind. Let's not get caught up with the cares of this life to the point that we wake up one day and we look around and we say, where has the time gone? Let's keep our relationship with God in the forefront. And if you've allowed anything to create division in your life or in the body of Christ, could we repent of that today? Because we are stronger together. And I love you guys. Jesus Christ loves you guys. Let's recommit to walking in God's love and demonstrating that love to each other. Yeah, it takes work. It takes sacrifice. But that's the only thing worthwhile. Can we come before the Lord today?